In preparation for its 100th anniversary celebration in the years 1987 and 1988, Morehead State University is conducting a series of oral interviews with former students, staff, faculty members, and administrators. I am Audrey Jones, present director of external studies at Morehead State University, and today's date is Thursday, March 1st, 1984. I am interviewing Grace Harriet Hagen, guide, who entered kindergarten in the Morehead State Normal Lab School in 1918 and attended Morehead State Teachers College in 1931. Harriet, your family has been connected with Morehead State for many years. Perhaps a good place to start this interview would be with the earliest contact, your grandfather, Dr. Frank Weld, who was the second president of Morehead Normal School. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your memories of your grandfather?
Well, grandfather was a tall, dark, handsome man. He had piercing eyes. He was very much a disciplinarian. As a child, we were in grandfather's presence, and at the table with grandfather, you were seen and not heard. And yet he was a kind, gentle person. I can see him holding my hand as we walked down the street from one place to another, and I can still see him bending down to talk to me and ask me a question or tell me something. He was I can visualize him in our old home. Which our son, my son, was the fourth generation to have lived in that home. But as a child, I can see grandmother and grandfather Weld putting my older brother and me down to rest on in the living room on chairs which were pushed together to make a bed for us for our afternoon nap. I suppose mother being out someplace for the afternoon. That furniture is like the furniture which is in the Comstock House, which was just a block south of Grandfather Weld's home. The Comstocks and the Welds were very dear, close friends. Grandfather was, with my mother and my aunt, they were encouraged to go on and have their own interests and their own freedom to do what they, to do that which they wanted to do and develop their own talents. Though in the home, as far as grandmother was concerned, she was very much waited on Grandfather Weld. In fact, I think the whole household waited on Grandfather Weld. But it was a... it was just taken as a matter of course. They did a good deal of entertaining in the home, most of which I know about mainly, I guess, from Jim Fay's columns in the Morehead News, which would have the little squibs on every time anybody entertained that was written up. And I could find in there the things that the people whom they entertained. I know that grandmother was much involved in church work and in DAR and in the women's club. And I have found clippings and old newspapers from conventions that she went to in Duluth back in 1898. Which was for the women's clubs of Minnesota. So I know there was that her participation in that, as well as I'm sure all the events that went on campus as wife of the president.
She was really very busy then, wasn't she? Can you describe your grandmother to us, too?
Well, grandmother was a small, very pretty woman. Of course, I remember her with her white hair and her piercing brown eyes. She also had very sharp brown eyes, and she was, she was everything you could ask a woman to be, I think. She was a beautiful seamstress, she was a wonderful cook, she was a wonderful homemaker, she was a very loving person. She was always there to take care of whomever was ill, whether it, even as later on after my mother was married and some of father's nephews who were going to Moorhead Normal School were taken ill. Grandmother, I can still see grandmother taking care of those young men in bed, in the great big huge old oak bed in the old house. Grandfather Wells' home was a lovely, gorgeous old home that had been built by a lumberman. And as the story goes, and I've always been going to look it up and never have, the house, the lumberman went broke. And so when Grandfather Weld bought the house, as I hear this way back, and of which I have no factual information on, he put in the hardwood floors because the house had not been completed. The lumberman, as I said, I believe had gone broke. The home had a magnificent library that was all in cherry wood. The living room was in mahogany. The parlor was in mahogany. The living room was in one kind of oak, and the dining room was in another kind of oak. And then had the big kitchen, and the pantry, and the back room, which was sort of a storeroom. There was a cistern, all the things, and the pump. I can remember those things of the old home. With six bedrooms upstairs and a huge hallway, back stairway for the maid, and that kind of home was very adequate for entertaining, so I'm sure they must have done a great deal of entertaining.
Yes. How many children were there in the family?
There were three. Mm-hmm. There was Aunt Lucy, who was a home ec major, and mother who was an English major, and then my uncle Frank, who was in industrial arts, and taught for a while, and then went into the Navy, and the Navy was his career then. Mother was very close to grandfather, and Aunt Lucy was very close to grandmother. The interests were, mother liked to write, and going back to just a little remark that I made when I said grandfather let them develop as their interests allowed them, it wasn't quite true, because mother really wanted to go into music. She really wanted to be a harpist and an organist. And grandfather said, no, you're going to be an English major. So that was what mother was. And she did go on with her writing, though she had wanted very badly to go into music. She did play the piano, but I don't know that she ever played the organ. But anyway, so there is that little bit there in that grandfather did the directing. But as a result, mother's writing was something that brought her very close to grandfather. And even after he left Moorhead State, which is, or Moorhead Normal, I guess it still was then. I don't know, remember what it was at that period of time. But anyway, mother would send her manuscripts to grandfather, and he was editing at that particular time, was editor of the National Educational Digest, which I think was one of the first educational digests printed in the country. And anyway, he was living in Lincoln, Nebraska, and was editor of that. And mother would send her manuscripts to him, and she liked to write short stories, and she wrote and did plays. In fact, she wrote a play which the theater department in Moorhead State produced at one time.
Oh, that's interesting. Do you remember the name of it?
No, I don't.
Uh-huh.
And mother was very interested in theater. She did all the makeup for Moorhead State and any other places in the two towns that did theater work. Mother did the makeup because she liked the theater things.
Where did you get that interest?
I don't know. Whether she got it from, well, grandfather grandfather had wanted to go into theater, and he had, as I understand it, had a family who felt that going on the stage was a sin. However, as I understand it, he went to Emerson School of Speech hoping to go on into theater, but as I say, the family, as I was told it, didn't allow him to do this. That's why I'm surprised when you go back and you think, well, then he didn't let Mother do what she wanted to do either. You kind of wonder why.
She wanted to go into music, but he let her work in theater, though, if she wanted to.
And so, well, that was fine. That was up his alley. And he did a great, and he had a fabulous library on Shakespeare and was quite an authority and spoke at clubs and at universities and colleges on Shakespeare. And he did a great deal of reading of Shakespearean works and of short stories and poetry and all. And he had a magnificent speaking voice, and did like to read. So Mother came by that, and so as a result of that, I'm sure that was why she and Grandfather were so close. It was because of that common interest.
Yes, I don't think you've given us your mother's name. Do you want to give us her
name? Mother was Moselle Edna Weld, and then married Olaf Jensen Hagen.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel that, what I meant to ask was, what type of religious background then did your grandfather have that forbade this? What church was he in?
I don't know.
You don't remember?
No,
that.
I don't remember.
Do you remember
know.
What church they were active in this in Moorhead?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. He was with the First Congregational Church in Moorhead and was one of the early, I don't think he was a charter member, but I think he was within the first year or two. And I know some of the clippings which I have found talk about he and Judge Sharp and some of these people who were old settlers in town going to state conference in Minneapolis, so I know that he was involved in the church activities.
So these would be his main interests then outside of his presidency would have been his readings, the Shakespeare, the church. Were there any other activities that you remember that were really important to him?
Travel. I know that, and education, because I know he traveled all over the United States for educational meetings. I have a postcard collection where he's been that just is all over from various meetings that he attended. So, but I really don't. I can't tell you what things he did at these. Otherwise,
that gives him plenty to do, I think, with the things that we've already discovered. Do you have any idea of any relationship to the town beyond the membership in clubs, perhaps, and talking, giving readings at the clubs? Was he ever involved in city government in any way?
Not that I know of.
Not that you know of, or politics in any way. Those are not the kinds of things that interested him.
He was interested in politics, I know, as far as appointments to educational things, because I know some of the letters and some of the references when in later years my father was resident director of Moorhead State, and he and Grandfather would correspond, and there was some correspondence that I can remember where Grandfather Weld made some comments about the political aspects of the educational field as it related to the politics of the time, whoever might have been the governor. I can't remember the details.
He would have to be involved in that, wouldn't he, being
right.
at a state institution.
Right.
Well, he was president during a period of great growth. The dates I have for him are 1899 to 1919, with 5 faculty when he started and 40 faculty at the time that he retired. So that was a period of really great growth for the college and quite a number of buildings being built, things of that sort. You mentioned once that you went to stay with him in the ninth grade and went to school in Nebraska where he was. Did you notice at that time any particular change in him, or are there any vivid memories you have of that period? Was your grandmother living then too?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so they were both
in the house, and they had an apartment in almost in downtown Lincoln. And he was evidently a sports fan too, which I didn't realize here, but there we went to all the football games at the University of Nebraska, and he was quite active in community things in Lincoln, that I remember, and we never missed a movie. He was very interested in the development of the cinema, and any new movie that came, we attended. And we went to the grandmother had to leave the dishes in the sink, and you got up from the table and you went. When grandfather wanted to go, you went. And I saw my first grand opera when I lived with him that year. I was taken to the Metropolitan Opera, which came through Lincoln. And he was very strict disciplinarian then too. I was a freshman, and supposedly a freshman in high school, and the people with whom I associated was very important.
Yeah, you know. I see. You just couldn't be friends with just anybody.
Mm-mm.
No. Well, these incidents with hurrying to the movie, again, that evidently never lost that strong interest in plays and drama, no. In actors and actresses.
And, you know, somewhere in the back of my mind, and again, it's something I should investigate to find out, but it seems to me that when he left Moorhead and left the college, he went to New York and was on a censor board for theater in New York for a period of time before he went to Lincoln as editor of that magazine. And that is something that I never have been able to figure out, what kind of a censor board there would have been. And it's something that I've always wanted to investigate, mm-hmm. never have done.
Yeah.
But he, no,
that
his...
That would be fascinating
to know.
To know that, right.
But I have never run across any correspondence that mm-hmm. he had with Mother or at all during that period of time. So I really don't know what that was all about.
No. How did your mother and father happen to meet?
My mother was home from the university, was she at Wisconsin or Northwestern then? She was home from the university and developed appendicitis and was in St. Ansgar Hospital, and father was fairly new in the community in the practice of medicine, and the doctor who operated on mother took father in and introduced him to her, and that was in November, I believe, and they were married the next June. Mother never went back to finish her
that was
her
love
degree.
At first sight there,
right,
wasn't
right.
it? Right.
Father was 15 years older than mother, but anyway, they were married in June of that year then, and that's how they met.
How did your mother's parents, how did the Wells view the marriage?
Well, they were very, very happy with it. They always, they just thought my father was finest man there ever was. So,
so there was no problem as far as his being an older man or anything of that sort. Did your mother ever go back to finish her degree then?
No, she just, as I say, she went on and did these correspondence courses. In writing.
Right.
Did that sort of thing.
All right. Do you want to tell us how your father became involved with Moorhead State? Hagen Hall is named after...
Father.
After your father, and Weld Hall named after your grandfather, so...
Right. Well, it was an appointment of father to... as a resident director of Moorhead State Teachers College, I believe it was at that time. And I don't know who the governor was then. I can't remember. But anyway, it was a gubernatorial appointment, as I understand it.
Tell me what a resident director
did. Well, the resident director, I don't know that I can tell you that either.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lobbyist, I think, mainly in the
see.
Legislature for the needs of the school and their and. For the Board of Education, whatever that board was that administered the state teachers' colleges at that time, he then was the representative of Moorhead State in that, and so then was involved in selection of new presidents of the institutions. I'm assuming it's like the State University Board of today.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but. The president handles all of that sort of thing for the university today, where in that time they had a layman who was a resident director.
Mm-hmm. Now, being resident director and living right in the town with the university, did he spend a lot of time then on the campus, too, getting acquainted with faculty and there for programs and things of that sort?
Yes, he did.
So it wasn't just the statewide committee that he met with, nor just the lobbying down at the legislature. It was also a personal involvement.
Very much so, yeah.
Would he have been on some committees over at the
No, he wouldn't have been on any committees that I know of locally. But he was aware of and involved in policy making, I believe, at the university level. I mean, at the college level, and knew. I mean, the faculty wasn't that big in those days either. You knew every faculty member.
Do you remember having faculty members in your home?
Oh, all the time we had them in our home. Mm-hmm. They were all. We always had our Sunday dinners. There was usually, practically invariably, you had a faculty member who was a friend. Who were friends. As guests at dinner and holiday time, and anything who was around. So I grew up with sitting on the floor listening to
the talk
that was going on again, being seen and not heard.
Right. How many were in your family? How many brothers and sisters?
I had three brothers.
You had three brothers. Uh-huh. You then probably heard comments about the other presidents that were there. How about Dr. Dickerson, who was president after your grandfather? Do you remember any comments made about him as a president by your mother or father or by faculty members or their response to him in any way? You don't remember. How about, you would remember Dr. McLean, though, because he was here.
Oh, yes. Dr. McLean I knew very well and knew his wife and his family, I mean, and his daughter and my mother. His daughter and my mother became very good friends. And
how would you characterize him? What type of person was he? Was he as good on the platform as your grandfather? Was he a good speaker? Did he do much speaking in the community?
I can't answer that. I don't remember that.
How did you respond to him personally? Did you feel he was
I felt
friend?
Very comfortable with him. Yes, and I loved, he was a warm Scotchman.
He was.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I guess I remember his daughter more because she was at our home a great deal, and she was such a beautiful young woman. And somebody that, as a child, you just looked up to that beautiful lady.
Do you remember his wife at all?
Very little. No, I don't.
You didn't see her as much.
Uh-uh.
Do you remember, now you were in the model school for quite a number of years. Do you remember anything about his relationship, Dr. McLean's relationship to the teachers in the model school? Did they respect him? Did he come over to visit?
I heard
visit?
I have no negative feelings about Dr. McLean at all.
You feel that almost anything you might have overheard would have been positive about his presidency.
Right.
All right. Now I'm going to move to your contact with Morehead State, especially with the model school. Now, in 1922, the kindergarten teachers were Mrs. Durbaraw and Mrs. Hessler?
Mrs. Durbra is the one, of course, whom I remember.
Durbra. But can you tell us anything about her?
Oh, she was a beautiful lady.
She was.
She was tall and stately and every inch a lady. Somebody whom we all adored. And I think every child and every parent that I ever knew of in town wanted their children to go to kindergarten under Mrs. Durbra. If they could go under Mrs. Durbra, then there couldn't be a better start for a child. She was really was just idolized as a teacher and as a person. She was dearly loved. She and Miss Rainey, who then was the first grade teacher, and those two ladies were dearly loved in this community. just outstanding ladies.
Then there may have been more students trying to get into those classes than could actually get in. Is that the case?
Well, it could have been. That could very well have been, because I know when Peter was born, I registered him for kindergarten at Morehead State, if that had been going on, because if you didn't register a child when they were born, you didn't get in there at that time, and that was in the 40s. Well, then, of course, things, you know, everything changed. But just in case I was going to be living here, I had no idea where I'd be, of course. But that was the feeling. But that was the feeling that one had for the kindergarten of Morehead State, was that it was just so super that that's where you wanted your child to go.
That's interesting that you would register them at birth.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Were kindergartens very common at that time? With the public school probably?
No, the public school didn't have a kindergarten. Mm-hmm. In fact, when I came back to Morehead after the war, I started with a group of women who were trying very hard to get kindergartens into the public schools. And our superintendent of schools says, "Oh no, it's nothing but a babysitting service. We don't need kindergartens." And it took, I think, the first instigation for getting kindergartens, if I remember rightly, I think somebody told me once, it was either 20 or 25 years from the time that the first movement was started to get kindergartens in the public schools before it was gotten in.
It's always a struggle, isn't it,
yeah,
for something?
So, but of course it was part of the curriculum here.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you didn't find them in public schools. I don't know whether Fargo had... Yes, Fargo, I think, had kindergartens long before we did. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
You'd have been in about the fourth grade in 1922. Would Miss Ulrich, Miss Jones, Miss Scow, Miss McDowell, any of those people be people that you remembered?
In the fourth grade? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Miss Ulrich.
Mm-hmm.
Very faintly. That one. And...
You had said once that...
I thought Blanche Loudon was... Where does she fit?
Oh, well, now she I've got her in upper intermediate, but she may have been in lower intermediate at the time you were there.
No, Miss Ulrich, because Miss Ulrich, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't there in the third grade, so then I came back to Morehead State in the fourth grade, to campus school.
It may have been Miss Loudon that you had then.
And so, no, I had Miss Ulrich along in there, too. She was a very stern... teacher, somebody whom I don't have a feeling of love or warmth for, like I do Miss Loudon and Miss Rainey, and some of those others. Then we had.
Did you learn from her? Was she good from
Miss Ulrich?
Yes.
As far as learning,
mm-hmm.
Well, I just think the whole learning experience in the campus school was super.
You do.
Oh,
you feel that you were well taught.
Yeah, I like the emphasis and the way when you went on into high school and you went on into other schools and went on into college, there was a feeling of wholeness in your education that you'd gotten in the campus school that I don't think was gotten in the public schools, because if you had a subject in history. Say if you're studying medieval history, which we were getting a taste of in the intermediate grades, your art, your arithmetic, your geography, everything.
It's all centered on
that one thing, so that you got a total relationship.
Mm-hmm. You're really immersed in the topic in a
way
that meant it was vivid for
you.
Yeah,
right. And so you just got a good liberal arts education. You got sociology, you got history, you got the whole picture. And I can remember building in the big sand tables, building the medieval castles and with the moats and the armored men and the horses and how the women dressed and lived and what their responsibilities were in the castle and what the serfs were and all this sort of thing, so that and you knew what the geography was of that part of the world and your math, you know, you were talking about the vegetables and the things that had to be weighed, and so you learned everything just all tied together, you know, and your music and your drawings, your art, it just all came together.
Sounds like a fantastic educational experience.
Oh, it was. It really was. It was a marvelous educational experience. I wouldn't have given it up for anything.
No. You talked about big sand tables. Were these in each of the school rooms, or was there one special room?
Well, there was. I can remember our desks were in, I think we were in fourth and fifth grade was maybe together, or maybe third and first, no, one and two, three and four, five and six, okay. So in you had all these little desks that you sat in the one room, and then in the room next to it was this huge sand table room, and which you built. And then the walls were covered with your drawings and your whatever it was. But this was a big room.
It was a big activity room, sort of. Then would that have?
But
would
room,
that have
our room that was sort of the homeroom type thing, where you all gathered in the morning first thing, and then dispersed according to what class you were going to be in, type of thing. Whether you were going to have arithmetic, and you were going to, or whether if you were going to do art or something, then you moved into that other room.
So you were traveling to different.
Well, just these two that I can visualize. I don't know whether we went other way areas or not. Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny how you forget things?
No, but I think you remember a lot there, and that's interesting. Do you remember anything about the college students coming in to be your
practice teachers? And the crushes that we would get on some of them.
Oh, yes.
I can remember my first crush on a practice teacher, and she was so beautiful, and how we loved her. And she ended up marrying Dr. Vern Freeman, who happened to be my dentist at the time, and he shared an office with my father. This was before Father went with the Fargo Clinic, and he had an office to downtown Moorhead. And I'd go in, and here I'd see Ida's picture up there, and but we really did have some excellent practice teachers. I can remember some of them as being outstanding, and I suppose because their personalities were warm and dear, and they worked well with us and that sort of thing, you know. And
well, you must have had quite a number of them, since this was basically a teacher's training school.
You had a separate one for each class. You had a separate one for arithmetic, and a separate one for reading, and a separate one for art, and that sort of thing.
Yes, so they didn't come in and the whole class was their responsibility. They came in and taught a particular subject and a particular project.
At times, but then again, you had, again, it seems to me that there was a practice teacher who was directly under the supervisor and had that total picture. Now, whether they, I don't remember the structure. I really don't.
One of the activities that seemed to get a lot of play in some of the books of this period were the bluebirds. Were you a member of the bluebird as you were in grade school?
Yes, I was a bluebird.
You were a bluebird?
Yeah, but I don't remember too much about it.
Uh-huh. It says this is a little sister's organization
for the campfire
girls.
Right. Yeah, right.
I found that you could earn 15 feathers by not biting your fingernails, and by helping with the dishes and things of that sort. Do you remember anything about that at all?
Mm-mm. No. I can remember. I remember I was a bluebird, but I don't remember anything about it. I remember more about my campfire days, I guess, than I do about bluebird. And of course, campfire came much later.
Oh, okay. What about the campfire? You were a member of that as you reached junior high school then?
Yeah, I suppose. Oh. I don't even remember what age group that was, but I remember some of my friends that were in campfire with me are still my very good friends. And the learning to make our bead, selecting our name and what did it indicate, which I don't even remember now what mine was.
Mm-hmm. And then it's your Indian name.
Yeah, our Indian name, and then making up a headband that would correspond with that. And you made your loom on the cigar box, and you wove your beaded headband, and you won your beads for your, like the Boy Scouts do for they're different awards. We won our beads for different things, whether it was in sewing or cooking or cleaning or public service or whatever it might be. You won certain beads that you wore on your uniform. Only we didn't, none of us, I don't think, ever had the regular Indian uniforms. I think we just had our middies and skirts.
I see. You wore a uniform at the college then? In the lab school? No, this just happens to be.
No,
what?
I mean our your campfire. Campfire uniform.
I see.
Was a Midian skirt.
Was a Midian skirt.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I noticed in the Moccasin, which is a publication in the lab school for 1927, that Grace Harriet Hagen entertained the campfire girls at a costume party.
I don't remember it.
You don't remember it, yeah. That was interesting. The advisors listed here were Miss Hawkinson and Miss Voigt. Do you remember them?
Oh, yes. Well, yes. Miss Hawkinson was absolutely outstanding.
Was she?
She was a tall, red-headed woman who was head of the junior and senior high school division.
She was a sort of principal then.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right. And she was an outstanding educator. And, there are so many qualities that one could think of that are all laudable. She just was a very, very fine woman. She was also a woman who started the Clay County Historical Society.
Is that right?
Because she was very interested in history. I think history had been her major, if I'm not mistaken. And started a collection, and I think the first collections were at Morehead State.
I see. And then that developed into the Clay County Historical Society.
But she was the kind, I can remember in those junior high days where you learned, some of the things that stand out in my mind are being a pilgrim. I can remember, you know, the Thanksgiving times and how we were all dressed, and we'd put on the plays that dealt with Thanksgiving, and so we had to make our costumes. We had the colonial times again going back to a theme, and so that you did all the things that you learned how to make candles, and you learned how to what are some of the other things? Anyway, things of the colonial period. You related to, I can remember her developing that, and I suppose, again, it was her deep interest in history that she had us doing that sort of thing. We learned the dances, the folk dances of that time. Then when St. Patrick's Day came, we learned the Irish jig, and that was one of the things. I wonder if she was Irish. She had such red hair. and we learned, so those are the things that come out of my memory of 7th and 8th grade, and she being the instigator of a lot of that.
And pageantry, she felt, was important. Now, when you put on pageants, so were parents invited, townspeople invited?
Well, I don't know where the townspeople were, but our parents came.
Your parents came
to see
her.
And I can remember, we had an old spinning wheel, and I remember that being brought up to be part of the scene. In fact, that spinning wheel, this was after I'd left the college, of course, when the McLean Hall burned down, but Old Main. In the top floor of the building was set up with some sort of a display, which I never did get clarified in my mind, except my mother was brokenhearted because her spinning wheel and some of her old things that had been loaned were in there when the building burned. But that, again, just related to the thing that just always went on in the school, and that those things were going on and being demonstrated.
Mm-hmm. Were you in town when the building burned? Mm-hmm. Do you remember? Did you go over? You watched it?
Well, we watched it from our bedroom window.
You could see it from there.
See it from the bedroom window, yes. And I can see
from 8th Street over.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I presume, of course, it would shoot to
4th Avenue up to. Mm-hmm. See, that was only 7th Avenue. You see an 8th over to 11th Street. You see, it wasn't that far. Because it was right where McLean Hall is.
Yes, I would presume there was a lot of melancholy and depression.
Father was resident director at that time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I can see us still standing at that window in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. Well, it was the middle of the night to me. I don't know what hour it was, but everybody was in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And whether somebody called Father or what, but I can see us standing out that particular bedroom window looking out, and I can see the tears streaming down my mother's face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how agitated Father was. I remember that picture is very vivid in my memory. Mm-hmm.
Well, I suppose afterwards, then, your father was probably
very much involved
in raising funds and trying to keep the school open and
right.
that sort of thing. Did he go down to lobby the legislature at that time, I suppose, again? I understand for a while there was some concern about whether it might be closed.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then to the reestablishing of a library and people giving books so that they could, you know, get a library started again. Because, I mean, that was the main building. That had everything in it in those days, you see.
Really a terrible loss.
I don't even remember how it started. I don't know what the write-ups tell. I don't even remember.
No. Well, it's more your impressions of it that we're interested in anyway. You can always get those other things from things that are written, you know. Yeah. I have you down as editor-in-chief of this moccasin in 1927. Hagen, editor-in-chief. Solveig Satre, assistant editor. Daniel Moose, business manager. Do you remember anything about that? Well, let me tell you what the content of yours was centered on. It was centered on great men in history. Abraham Lincoln, George Washington. But he didn't get as much play as Abraham Lincoln and Benjamin Franklin, Ulysses Grant, Robert E. Lee. You wrote an essay on Robert E. Lee.
Is that right?
That's right. It's a part of that. And you also wrote a poem, and I thought it's no... You know, it's an eighth grader's poem, but I thought maybe it would be kind of fun to have you read that on the tape. Would you be willing to do that?
Sure. Is that right?
Yeah, it's right here at the bottom of this page and the top of the next page, and your essay's very good, but that's a little long, but I thought it would be fun to have you...
Isn't that something?
Read your own poem there.
Oh, Georgia Loman. Oh, I loved her.
You loved Georgina Loman?
She was a marvelous woman.
Well, we'll talk about her when you finish reading the poem. We'll let you read about Lincoln now. Okay.
I want to be like Lincoln, to all men good and true, beloved by all who know me and deeds of kindness do. I want to be like Lincoln, to stand for what is right and never lose my courage, however long the fight. I'll try to be like Lincoln, a helpful life to live. Whate'er my lot, where'er I be, my best, my very best I'll give.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Well, you maybe will want to copy some of that. Pass it on to your...
Oh, that's really fun.
And there are several essays in there by you, too. One on Robert E. Lee and a short one on Lincoln.
Oh, but this is fun to see the names of some of these people that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Yeah. I found it great fun to find this and... and see who listed there.
I have an old moccasin someplace at home that has something that my brother, who was killed in World War II, wrote.
Oh, yes.
And that's the only one that I have.
Mm-hmm. Now he went through the lab school.
And, both my brothers did.
Yeah, both your brothers did. Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we go back to Georgina Loman? Tell me about what kind of... She was in director of the...